Hi, I'm Russell Harrison, the CEO here at Western Health. Welcome to the COVID Catch-Ups. These are sessions where I get to catch up with small groups of staff from across Western Health in a slightly different way to normal. We ask some questions, we have some fun, answer some questions, and hopefully just have a good conversation. So welcome. My name is Russell Harrison. I'm the CEO at Western Health, and we're doing another COVID catch-up with the drug and alcohol team today. So with us, we've got Phil.
Hi.
Tracy.
Hello.
And Harpreet.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us, guys, and welcome to COVID Catch-Ups. Today is a bit of fun, and we'll have a bit of a conversation about your reflections on the COVID sort of episode, let's call it, and what's happened during and what you're looking forward to after as restrictions are lifting, and just a sense of where you've been. So to start with, I'd like to say a huge thank you through you to your colleagues for the great work they've been doing to support our patients and community across the last couple of months, which have been pretty interesting and have been, you know, pretty radically different to what normal business tends to be. So thank you for that, and thank you for continuing to come to work and support patients, which is really appreciated. It has been a sort of strange time for all of us with lots of change, and we'll probe bits of that as we go. But, you know, a huge thank you for that on behalf of myself and the exec team. So thank you. Today, hopefully, we'll be relaxing and a bit of fun, and feel free to ask a few questions. I'm going to start with a really easy one just to sort of get you into going it. And we'll start with you, Phil. So tell us what has changed for you in terms of your, I mean, you're a member of the Youth Outreach Program. So what's been a difference because of COVID for you in the way that you work or practice?
Yeah, so for us, it's been very different because a core part of our work is, you know, going out and seeing clients in the community from home, or meeting them, you know, at a coffee shop or after school or at, you know, another co-location where we might meet them. So for us, we don't do that anymore. We've had to almost completely change the way that we engage with young people. And it's been predominantly, using like Zoom or, you know, working with clients over the phone. So it's affected our team.
Challenging to adapt to, or has it been pretty okay?
I think it you know, any sort of change in the way that you do your day-to-day work is requires a bit of, you know, adapting. It hasn't been too bad, I don't think, for the team, but certainly you know, it has, you know, there has been a period of adjusting, you know, because you know, we're on the road a bit, you know, going out to see clients, and so we're office based now. So yeah, it has changed how we work and how we engage with our clients, and I think we've done what we can, and we're still sort of, you know, fine tuning things along the way. But yeah, overall, I think we've sort of adapted as best we can.
Cool. And Tracy, how about yourself? You're a specialist pharmacotherapy program clinician. That sounds a great title.
I know, very slick.
And how has it affected your work?
I guess for us, much of what we do has been business as usual, and we are still seeing clients in clinic. But we, I guess the team with the prescribers and the doctors have had to look at how they minimise perhaps the number of clients that are coming into clinic. So we've been having to do different things in terms of like phone consults, and we were one of the first services across the organisation to work with telehealth. So
I hear, and has that been a good experience? Because you've been sort of the standard bearers for that across the organisation a little bit.
I guess it's been challenging for us as clinicians and for some of the clients, not just from I guess there's been a few sort of technological hiccups, but we've worked through those. Sometimes it, you know, it hasn't worked, and we've had to sort of manage things just on a telephone basis. But on the whole, it's been a really good sort of I guess midpoint measure rather than a telephone consult. The actual video consults have been a really good sort of measure to put in place, because, you know, we're very used to seeing clients on a face-to-face basis. And so being able to see them, albeit not face-to-face directly, being able to see them over a video consult has really helped minimise those sort of client consults face-to-face and coming into clinic.
So putting you on the spot now.
Yeah.
You know, wade into the debate, others if you want. So, yeah, telehealth is pretty positive. People have really raved about it for that reason. It's better than a phone consult.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Do clients like it, and do you think it will continue as a substitute for not doing the face-to-face stuff anymore or as much of the face-to-face consults?
I think there's a real place for it in the in the future. I think some people, just the pure logistics of having to get to clinic is a barrier to treatment for some clients. And so for them to be able to have a meaningful consult with a clinician via video link is great. So I think as much as it's been challenging for us in the early stage, I think there is definitely a place for telehealth for our client group, for sure.
Yeah, and Phil's nodding vigorously in support of that. So I guess you're in agreement too, Phil.
Absolutely. I think it definitely has a place. Yeah. I hope would probably be if we could incorporate that as part of...
As an option.
Our work and how we engage. But
I guess that's in your hands entirely because you've got the technology. We know it works.
We know it works.
So it's whether or not you want to continue to sort of make that change.
Absolutely, yeah. So some clients or young people have really... taken it,
embraced it,
and
yeah.
embraced it because it's sort of
it's normal life for them almost.
Yeah,
on screens
just
all the time.
Overcoming the barrier of of coming out to appointments
it's a bit more convenient.
Not feeling up for seeing someone, it's an alternative way of engaging. Mm. But so it certainly is something that hopefully moving forwards we can incorporate into our practice as a more of an option rather than.
Yeah.
An alternative.
Hmm.
Okay, cool. And Harpreet, you run or the ANUM of Community Residential Services. How has life through COVID been for you and your team?
Look, when it initially all started, I think it was quite challenging in terms of being a 12-bedded adult residential unit and 4-bed adolescent community unit. So just we had to brainstorm and kind of look at our intake, a wait list, reduce our numbers from a 12 to 6 in the adult, and in the youth we could only do from 4 to 2 for strict, I guess, social distancing measures and all. And also good hand hygiene and screening clients as they come into the unit with our clientele, I guess, because they don't have that, I guess, opportunities to have all the technology that's available for normal population, kind of giving them that education, that support, that information about what's going on, what's the new normal, and screening them as they come in. That was kind of a big challenge, and explaining it properly to them that this is what the requirement is now with this COVID-19. So I think that was a big challenge initially, but I think all the team took that on board fairly well, and with great, I think, support from throughout the management, from the hospital, we were able to just kind of get into the routine of doing the things as normally as we could.
And how have you coped? Because, I mean, obviously the drug health programs and alcohol programs use a lot of external support people, professionals that come in, particularly to the inpatient units.
Correct.
How's that been overcome without the sort of them visiting you as often or as probably planned as they used to?
Yeah, so look, with external providers, obviously we had to cancel all the external providers' services that we had in our unit, but we've got a program coordinator. So we had to make sure that we are engaging clients and utilizing the staff on the floor for more group activities, more group education, information sessions, and keeping the clients engaged and interactive in that way. So that's been a kind of new challenge and a change.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Tracy, how have you kept entertained and sort of staff morale up across this period? Because as you said, it's very different sort of setup. Have you managed to kind of make sure that the teams are still functioning and, people are not overwhelmed or overly anxious?
We work together well as a team. Most of us have worked together for some time. So I think it's been, we've all been a little bit more aware of, how each other is coping, doing some regular check-ins with each other. sort of lunch breaks and things like that. When I know I've listened to other COVID catch-ups, you know, lunch breaks and things are a really important part of that sort of debriefing and making sure that you're all okay. And some of that has been a bit challenging, like staggered lunch breaks. And, you know, we had some conversations with the management team around, you know, things like not booking meetings in our meeting area around lunchtime, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But just being mindful that actually, you know, that space is, you know, we can utilise that space for staff to sort of have those, breaks. And I guess just keeping your sense of humour, I suppose, really, too, is about, you know, just maintaining, as much as I know it's, you know, we're working in a different sort of sphere at the moment with COVID-19, but trying to sort of, maintain some of that normality, really, I suppose.
Yeah, it looks like your colleagues agree about this, sort of keeping your sense of humour and sort of supporting each other. So that's what that's been really important, as you say, and a feature of other teams that have sort of come through the COVID catch-ups to say that.
Yeah.
Harpreet, restrictions are starting to lift in sort of broader society. Clearly, we're a little bit different as a healthcare service. How are you managing that sort of challenge, I guess, with restrictions lifting in the community but still pretty tightly controlled in the health service? Are you finding a challenge with clients or visitors or family members or staff? Or
Look, I think clients in general in drug health services, they've been quite receptive of this new change and they're more vigilant and they're very much on board with what the, I guess, the health facility requirements are. So so I guess just being supportive, being giving them enough information, educating them in around to COVID-19 and what the lifting of restrictions mean in the community as well as in the health facilities, I think that's kind of being really important. And just being empathetic and being there to listen to their concerns, I think that's kind of the key thing to engage clients and just making them feel comfortable and they're in a safe environment. I think that's very important in terms of the health facility. Community-wise, I guess, I was happy when the schools reopened.
homeschooling. You're not the first to have said that.
Homeschooling has been quite challenging, just making my daughter study at home before I did my afternoon shift. I think that's been quite, and I can say that, I have so much more respect for teachers now and the just amount of patience that you need to teach these little kids. So I think that's been quite challenging opening, and I think I've just got so much more empathy, so much more appreciation for everyone's work.
Cool. And how about yourself, Phil? You know, restrictions are lifting, the community program, is it having a positive or a sort of, you know, it hasn't really had an impact yet as far as you can tell?
For us, you know, we still, I think it's a case by case basis in the sense that how we deliver our services, we're still predominantly working with, you know, young people, over the phone or via Zoom. If that, you know,
well, I suppose with the advent of the coffee shops now reopening and small sort of allowance, is it 20 or 10 people inside now?
20.
So as a team, we haven't really sort of discussed what
that might,
you know,
mean.
And how that will affect us. So I think for us, it's just still working with the sort of the constraints or the restrictions that are in place, and just sort of seeing, testing the waters to see what could we do differently in terms of once the easing of restrictions are sort of in place, you know, how are we going to sort of navigate that, and what sort of way are we going to change in the way we deliver services, which is going to be interesting to work out, you know, what we can do, what we can't do, within what constraints, and so it's still an evolving sort of...
It's probably still quite a dynamic space as well, lots of change still.
Absolutely,
okay. Tracy, you're going to have to use your imagination now. Your colleagues get a bit more of a head start on you because they can think while you get to answer. But fast forward 6 months. We've kind of come out the other side. We're business as normal as much as we can be. Looking back, you've got one sort of magic button. What's the one thing you'd want to keep as a result of the experience we've had as a service across the last, let's say, 3 months?
I think it probably would be the telehealth stuff. I think I guess with the client group that we work with, it's still really important to be mindful that not everybody has access to a mobile phone, not everybody has data to be able to do the video links and all those sorts of things. And so we still need to be very mindful of some of those restrictions, I guess. But the telehealth for sure has a place in as an option to offer clients who are either struggling logistically to get into clinic or, you know, may have other challenges or other issues that are preventing them from getting into clinic or, you know, do prefer to do those consults. I mean, there will still always be a need to see people face to face, but I think to be able to offer it as an alternative perhaps to a face-to-face consult is definitely, one I think that we'll be, interested in keeping.
Yeah, okay. Harpreet, yourself, same question?
Yeah, I think resilience will be one thing that no matter how bad the situation is, if we stay together, work together, support each other, I think we can come out of anything. And that's what this pandemic has taught me as a clinician, as a mother, as a wife, I think. So, and just being empathetic, spending that time with your family, and I think just appreciating everything that's around you.
No, I think what this whole experience has sort of highlighted for me, and I'm sure the team as well, is that we have to be responsive to the needs of the our clients and the people that we're working with. I've found some people have really embraced the phone contact as a method of engagement, whereas other young people they're not really it's not their preferred way of engaging. They prefer to see someone face to face or have that more human direct contact. And it's easier for them not to answer the phone as well. So I think for me is just being able to sort of be more responsive to their preferred ways of engaging, to offer alternative ways if they're not big on face-to-face appointments, maybe mix in a few telephone appointments or offer alternatives, and just try to be more flexible and adaptive to their needs and also in terms of what we can deliver as a service as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Unique position. The three of you have got the ear of the CEO. Anything particularly you want to get off your chest? Say, if you could fix one thing, it would be X, and that would be great. Phil, you're looking keen to go first.
Yeah, so as a team, we're still considered outpatient. So, we would love to be able to do online, records or use EMR. We still use paper-based files at the moment.
Now, have I got some good news for you?
Ooh, okay. Maybe my Christmas list will be ticked off. No, but yeah, we would love to to move away from paper and hard copy files, and then be able to use electronic ways of case noting, because it would just save a lot of time for ourselves, but for the administrative staff who have to scan and do all that sort of stuff. So that would be wonderful.
I can tell you, on the 31st of March, we signed the phase two deal with Cerner for the medical record, which basically is all the clinical applications for all services coming on stream. So it won't be in time for this Christmas. But we will be rolling out the EMR to all clinical services, and we've got the mobility thing, so you can use it on the road as well.
Oh, fantastic. That would be so awesome.
So that is coming. So watch this space. But I'm sure you'll be involved in more working groups than you know what to do with in the near future. But it is coming.
Well, that's good news. Yeah, that's cool. Fantastic.
Moving around. Tracy.
I don't know, really. I mean, I suppose for me, personally and professionally, and this is part of it, I suppose, about raising the profile of the great work that Drug Health Services does. I've worked for Western Health since 2011, and only started working in Drug Health Services in 2017. And I worked in the Centre for Education, so I had quite a wide profile. Yeah. And I'm almost embarrassed to say that I really did not know what work Drug Health Services did. And now I'm amidst our, I've worked in the residential withdrawal unit and now in that sort of an outpatient setting, you know, an appreciation of all the women's program and all the other sort of community services that our community can access. I think lots of people need to be aware of the sort of great work that we that we do and that's on offer, and that, you know, if, from a mental health or AOD perspective, the sorts of services that you can refer your patients to in a hospital setting and what's available. And I suppose some of that sits with us as a division to do some more of that PR. Yeah. But I think you do so much of the business side of things that you forget to sort of do some of the sitting back, reflecting and sort of letting people know about actually what's available. And I suppose, yeah, we need to probably do some of that a little bit better.
I'm sure Brad's got the same viewpoint about how do we promote the huge services that are out there. And, and, you know, there are a huge variety of drug and alcohol services that we offer. And we now offer the whole spectrum of care, I guess, from detox right up to community residential through to outpatients and beyond. So, it's a pretty big program with lots of sort of partnerships.
And a wide-ranging sort of profile of clinicians too, from, you know, nurses to sort of, you know, AOD clinicians, counsellors, psychologists. Yeah. There's a whole, you know, raft of very experienced, knowledgeable people who are very passionate about what they what they do and delivering a darn good service too.
And I guess one of the opportunities to promote that is going to be the new mental health and alcohol and other drug crisis hub in the ED at Sunshine, which will give a bit more of a presence at that very sharp end. So, no, that's great. Harpreet, how about yourself? Anything you want to...
I think I just exactly agree with Tracy in regards to just appreciation of the amazing work that drug health services do. And also I think just kind of building and promoting that better relationship with drug health services and ED emergency department when clients with substances and alcohol and other drugs present, just to remove that stigma that's attached to anyone with AOD issues. I think that's very important if we want to do any more work in this space. I think that's kind of very important.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So a bit of a challenge for all of us to try and improve the profile and sort of, referral links to drug and alcohol.
Absolutely, so. Some of those referral pathways I think will be, well, with the when the crisis hub is up and running, I think some of the, making sure that we've got those referral pathways organised so that there's a real slick process. Yeah,
correct. Okay. So we go for a little while. No one's asked me a question. Are you feeling brave? Have you got any?
Oh, just maybe just curious about what it's like being the boss. I'm like, I don't imagine. You must be like a lot of pressure, a lot of, a lot of responsibility being the man at the top and just, what's that like? Like, how do you manage and, you know, when things are overwhelming and like, what's it like just to, you know, be in that position where you've got so much responsibility over so many different services and people and, you know,
I guess you don't think about it, otherwise it would drive you kind of nuts. I mean, first and foremost, I've got a great executive team and it's a great organisation, so there's great leadership throughout all levels of the organisation, which is, really positive for me. I think Western's a great place and probably a very different health service to many because of that. And I think we've got a great culture, as Harpreet was saying. It's that kind of sense of resilience and the fact that we will support our community, you know, come what may. And I think through this crisis, our community has also really supported us with all of the very generous gifts they've been giving us from all sorts of things, from face masks to gowns to food and everything in the middle. But I quite enjoy being CEO. It's a great job and I'm very proud to be the CEO of it. And I think, you know, you've got to keep yourself grounded. As you've been saying, it's about, you know, getting some support, working with your family, having some downtime away from work and looking after yourself as much as you can, because otherwise it can be paralyzing when you go, oh, I'm a camel for everything. But first and foremost, it starts with a great team. And as you guys have said, you know, the team is everything to sort of keep things on an even keel. And I've just got to provide the air cover for the teams to get on and do stuff and try and keep, you know, other folk away from that so we can do our jobs. So, but it's great fun. I've always wanted to be a CEO, so I guess I've been kind of desperate to do that from a fairly long way away. but interesting times. But as I say, my life got slightly more less challenging, I should say, because COVID took over everything. So we went from having 10 projects to one. So I'm sure it'll heat up again after we get back to BAU. But no, thanks for being brave and asking a question. any other questions or?
Have you had much sort of contact from family, friends back home? I guess I know Australia you probably call home, but back in the UK, in terms of how we're managing things here, have you got a sense of, colleagues back in the health service that you worked at before you came to Australia about what sort of challenges they've been having? And
I had a lot of regular contact. We were sort of swapping ideas as much as getting ready for stuff and saying, what are you doing and what can we borrow and how can we adapt that? I was always brought up to steal shamelessly other people's ideas and then use them. So it's what we've been doing. But the UK colleagues of mine, certainly, I think the UK generally, as well as other parts of the world, have been doing it really tough. And the one thing that sticks with me is a friend of mine who's a CEO of a hospital near London who said it got really, really real when they had to care for their own staff in their ICU and they lost a couple of staff colleagues. So I think that for me brought it home just how different it is in Australia in terms of the success of our control measures. And I know the community have done it really tough to support us avoiding those kind of surge numbers. But certainly listening to that when you go, we're caring for lots of our own staff in our health service and we've lost colleagues is pretty challenging. Yeah. So, it's been great to get that insight and wisdom and learn from them and borrow, but it's come at a heavy cost for them, I'm sure. So pretty challenging.
Cool.
Okay. Any final reflections? We've been going now for 27 minutes, believe it or not. So time flies.
Indeed.
So any final thoughts, any comments? Before we wrap up,
I guess just from my point of view, thanks for letting us come and have the opportunity to talk about the work that we've been doing. And I think the COVID catch-ups have been really good. I've enjoyed listening to them. And I guess it's not every day you get chance to sit in front of the CEO and tell them about the work that you've been doing. And so thanks for the opportunity to come and have a chat.
Thank you for your time and this opportunity.
Much appreciated. Thank you for yours. I know you're all busy clinicians, so it's much appreciated you've spared a bit of time to come and have a chat. And as I say, at the beginning, please pass on my huge thanks to all of your colleagues that are not here but are represented through you guys for the great work they've been doing. And long may that continue, because I think Western Health is a special place and the drug and alcohol service is a huge part of that and reaches way beyond the walls of the hospital. So thank you and have a great one and stay safe in these ever-changing times.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the COVID Catch-Ups, and please feel free to share any of these episodes with any of your colleagues who you think might be interested.